Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt, your teacher. I'm coming to you today on Sunday, April 17th, 2022. Happy Resurrection Sunday to each and every one of you today. We had a few technical issues with our recording again this past Sunday, so I am recording this lesson again, and this is the second part, part number two of Lesson 8, entitled Faithfulness in History. We're in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going from verse 9 into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. And we want to say happy Resurrection Day to you today. What a blessing it is to know that we have a Savior that is alive and well. And oh, thank God for that blessed fact. Today, as we begin part 2 of the lesson we began on last Sunday, April the 10th, I want to remind you of a question I asked last Sunday. And that question is, am I being a faithful Christian or am I a fickle Christian? Our theme verse comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, where the Bible said, Paul wrote, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Last Sunday, I read a verse to you from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 20, verse number 6. And the Bible said there, "Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" We looked last Sunday at faithfulness in history, and we want to continue the lesson today the second part of this lesson. Last Sunday, we looked at the faithfulness of God, God's faithfulness, and the planning of salvation that God had for the lost and dying world. And then we looked at his provision of that salvation. You know, it's great to know that God not only planned a plan of salvation, but he provided it completely in his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 last Sunday, and we saw three things that God did when Jesus came into this world. Number one, he abolished death. He abolished it. The Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What a day that was when he abolished death for us. But you know, number two, he brought life and immortality to life. Think about it, folks. Those things which were before hidden from the very eyes of men's understanding have now been made known through God's provision of eternal salvation, bringing forth life from that which at one time was only dead in trespasses and in sins. And number three, he did it all through the gospel. Folks, the message of the gospel still works in the hearts and lives of those to whom it is presented. Oh, where would you and I be today were it not for the message of the gospel? Then today we want to pick up here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 11, where we see not only God's faithfulness through history, but we see the Apostle Paul's faithfulness. First of all, I want you to see Paul's commission here in verse number 11. He said, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." You see, the Apostle Paul's faithfulness to do what God said to do has made the difference for both Jews and Gentiles, bond or free, rich or poor, for centuries now. And the Apostle Paul recognized this great calling upon his life, and he readily accepted it with a grateful and humble and joyous heart. Look at what he declared here to Timothy in this verse. Number one, he declared that by the will of God, he knew that he had been appointed a preacher. And as a preacher of the gospel, he faithfully declared and proclaimed the soul-saving message that only Jesus can save to all that would hear him. Number two, he said that by the will of God, He knew that he had been made an apostle, one of those few great men that God had allowed to be in on the very foundation building platform of the New Testament church. Even as we read over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, where Paul wrote these words. He said, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." You see, in spite of what many TV and radio evangelists say today, and in spite of what a lot of local churches teach and believe, there are no apostles today. God qualified, and then he used these specially called and appointed men of faith and love for God to lay the very foundation for his New Testament church, even as we read back here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. These men of God were not only specially filled with the wisdom and power of God for such a tremendous task, but they actually saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ with their own physical eyes. They heard him speak to them, his words of instruction, with their own physical ears, and they performed great miracles and deeds worthy of God's praise and honor, as God enabled them to physically do among the people that they were sent to evangelize and begin Christ's New Testament church, the things that no one else had ever done. Paul himself wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, when he asked the carnal church of Corinth this question. He said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." You see, it was by the will of God that Paul knew he had been commissioned by God to not only preach the message of the gospel as an authorized apostle of God, but he was to work with those folks who were treated as outcasts by the Jews, but whom he had led to Christ and now served as being a teacher of the Gentiles. See, after leading those Gentiles to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they yearned to know and to hear the truth of God's love for them. Everybody else had rejected them, but Paul was commissioned by God to be their teacher and to strengthen them and to encourage them in the Word of God so that they, in turn, might take the message of the gospel to others who needed to hear and, according to God's divine plan, be saved by the message of the gospel. What a blessing it must have been to the Apostle Paul. Think about it. To be a teacher of the Gentiles and of all those who desired to grow in their newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was indeed faithful in his commission to reach and to preach and to teach the word of God to all who would hear him. But we also see down in verse number 12, Paul's opposition. He writes here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first part of verse number 12, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." You see, Paul's faithfulness to God produced great opposition from those who did not know the Lord as their own personal Savior. And he said here, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Now, what things is he talking about? Well, he's talking about imprisonment. He's talking about cruel mockings, floggings, scourgings, and beatings, eventual death at the hand of those who hated the message of the gospel. But I don't want you to stop there and be sad for Brother Paul. I want you to look at what he said in the rest of that verse where he writes, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Can I read that one more time? He said, "Nevertheless, through it all, I am not ashamed. Now, how could anyone endure all that the Apostle Paul had endured for the cause of Christ? How could anyone ever choose to not be ashamed and just keep on preaching and keep on reaching and keep on teaching the message of the gospel, even throughout all the trials and persecutions that he had so willingly endured, without choosing to just keep quiet and not say anything? How could he do that? I'll tell you how he could do it. He could say that because in the latter part of that verse, we see Paul's persuasion. Look at it here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Folks, he explained how he could do this back in his letter to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Look at what the Bible said. He said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Amen. Now here in this verse number 12, Paul tells Timothy, he said, "I may be having to be imprisoned, and I may be having to endure cruel mockings and even beatings, and I may have to face death at the hands of those who choose not to believe the message that I'm trying to share with them about the Lord." But then he writes, he said, "But nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Man, what a blessing it is to know whom you have believed, and to know and to be completely persuaded that the God who saved you is always able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Man, Conquerors class member, do you know the one you say that you believed? Are you fully persuaded that he will see you through no matter what oppositions you may face while being faithful to do what God has saved you to do? Listen, the Apostle Paul was, and that hope that he had in Jesus made him to not be ashamed of Jesus, but rather it strengthened him to be bold in his faith and in his faithful service unto the Lord. Paul knew that if he would only give his best to God and fully deposit his trust in the God who had saved him, that God would be the keeper of his soul, and that God would be the one to see him through all the opposition that he would ever face, and would see him through until the day that he was taken out of this old world and brought into the presence of the God who had so saved him. Man, isn't that great? Listen, all throughout the history of the Bible, people like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they all did this. They trusted God. We see that over in Daniel chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. Daniel himself trusted God in Daniel chapter 6, verses 18 through 27. But then I want you to notice how Paul also warns Timothy in verse 15 of those unfaithful ones. The unfaithful ones. Sad to say, folks, there are people that choose not to be faithful unto God. Look what Paul writes here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He said, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Folks, whether you realize it or not, and very sad to say, through the trials and heartaches of this old life, not all who name the name of Christ Jesus are or will remain to be faithful servants of God. Because of the severe opposition that the Apostle Paul faced, And even because of the persecutions he endured, many of the folks in Asia had shamefully turned away from him and no longer supported or even associated themselves with the man of God who through whom they had heard the message of the gospel and been saved. In Acts chapter 19, verses 8, 9, and 10, we read this, how that Paul, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, and many believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And then in verse 20 of that very same chapter, we read these words, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You know why it prevailed? Because there was a faithful man of God there that opposed the opposition, but he stood faithful to the precious word of God. What a blessing it is when those who have been lost in their sins and who in this life have turned themselves unto dumb idols and wicked paganism and worship for so long, they both come to hear and to understand the blessed truth of God's great love for them that has been offered so freely through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe. And they not only believe that, but they receive God's great gift of salvation. And immediately they are delivered from the sin that had so long enslaved them. Man, what a blessing that is. And as Paul had so faithfully and so diligently preached the message of the gospel and had so lovingly taught the people those deep truths and sweet promises of the word of God, we read here that not only did all Asia hear the word of the Lord Jesus, but in Acts chapter 19, verses 18 and 19, the Bible said that many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which had used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And notice again in verse number 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Praise God. Man, these folks got serious about living for God. They took all those sorcery books and paganism books and pornographic books. They took all the things that they had spent all their monies on. And when they got saved, they burned them before witnesses. And they counted the price of all those things and counted it 50,000 pieces of silver. Can you imagine what a conversion that was in Asia? But folks, I want you to understand something. Satan's desire is, and it shall forever be, to eternally damn the souls of every man, woman, boy, and girl, and to keep them from ever hearing the soul-saving message of truth and deliverance from the Word of God. And folks, if he cannot keep them from getting saved, then he'll do all that he can do to keep them from growing and spiritually maturing in the Word of God. And he'll do what he can do to keep them from ever becoming a faithful witness to others who need to be saved and will be saved if only somebody will take the message of the gospel and speak it in their ears. And as the devil worked his plan to deter and to desist and to detain the message of the Apostle Paul from reaching forth into the lives of those people, he not only stirred up those who refused to believe the message of the gospel, but he also brought forth such heartache and persecution among the people who did believe that they became discouraged. They became disheartened through doubts and fears and worries, and they soon dropped out of attending church, and they forsook not only the God who had saved them, but also the man of God who had been faithful to bring the message of truth and deliverance unto them. And now the man of God, whose faithfulness through all the trials and storms of life, he now sits confined in a dark prison awaiting the day of his execution for simply preaching the gospel and for loving the people of God. And he writes these words to his dear son in the faith, Timothy. He said, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Oh, how this must have broken the heart of the Apostle Paul to write these words. And if Timothy and those few other faithful servants who read this letter, it must have broken their hearts as well. Could this be maybe, and you think about this just a moment, but could it be this is why Jesus had John write again to those seven churches who were once faithful churches in Asia, as he did in Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3? I'm not saying that, but it could be. Could it be that maybe this is why the message of the gospel is still being fought against so mightily throughout all Asia in our world today, simply because those who once had the truth of the Word of God chose to forsake that truth and turn away from those who preached and taught the truth so long ago? Listen, the fact was, and it remains true even in our day today, many who were once faithful to God and who were enlightened and who had tasted the sweetness of salvation were turning away in fear and in shame, not only from the God who saved them, but also from the one whose face stood to the opposition and stood up in the midst of trials and persecutions in order to get them the gospel, and who faithfully stood up for the Lord in order that they might hear the message and be saved. We've seen how that during this COVID pestilence mess, we've seen how the devil has fought. And we've seen, especially to those who are still lost, we have seen how the devil has done everything he can do to keep people from hearing the message of the Word of God. And now, many of those folks who once stood in church and who once attended church have even tucked tail and run and turned away from the fellowship of those within their own church family and those who have chosen to remain faithful to God's word and to the man of God who taught them to stand. And now you can't find them anywhere. Oh, how this breaks my heart as a teacher of the Word of God. And I know it breaks our pastor's heart who has stood faithfully for more than 26 years to preach the Word of God here at this church. Folks, dear Conquerors class member, even as the crowds that had been delivered from sin and sickness and all sorts of physical ailments and even death chose to turn and walk away from the Apostle Paul and all those other dear men of God who had taught them the truth of the Word of God, and even turned away from our dear Savior and cried out, "Crucify him and let his blood be on us and on our children." Even so will these unfaithful ones turn and walk away from fellowship with you and with me and from the church family that they belong to, simply because we choose to remain faithful to the one who has saved us and they choose not to. Paul wrote here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He said, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." And although we don't know who these two people were, who Paul's writing about, these two people will for all eternity be remembered only for their turning away from the God who had saved them, as well as from the man of God who had at one time been their greatest friend. Oh, how sad it truly is when one so chooses to forget the Lord and to forever be remembered only as an unfaithful one for the Lord. The unfaithful ones. How sad. But folks, the Apostle Paul did not linger on the unfaithful ones. He was writing to encourage Timothy. He didn't dwell on these people's unfaithfulness when trying to strengthen and encourage Timothy in the work of the ministry. Rather, he went on to remind Timothy of the faithfulness of others that he knew and that he had began speaking of. One of those men was Onesiphorus. And I want you to look here, point number 4 in our lesson, the faithfulness of Onesiphorus. I want you to see, number 1, his faithfulness within the ministry. His faithfulness in the ministry. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out diligently, and he found me." Amen. What a man Onesiphorus must have been, faithful in all of his doings. Onesiphorus was faithfully to spiritually refresh the Apostle Paul, even in the midst of trials and tribulation. Onesiphorus was faithful to stand unashamed of his friend and fellow laborer in Christ, the Apostle Paul, even when others chose not to stand and would not stand. Onesiphorus was faithful to go that extra mile to encourage and strengthen others, and especially his friend, the Apostle Paul. Listen, Onesiphorus sought Paul out when he was left alone and imprisoned in darkness, and he went to where he was so as to bring him strength and encouragement. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did for you and for me when he left all the splendor of heaven and he came to this old wicked earth so as to seek and to save that which was lost? Oh, hallelujah! What a Savior we have today. But not only was Onesiphorus faithful in ministry, but if you look down in verse number 18, we see his faithfulness in mercy. His faithfulness in mercy. Paul wrote here, he said, "The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." You see, the Apostle Paul, I believe that he recalled that passage of Scripture from Psalm chapter 36, verse 5, where David wrote, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." And he prayed that God would grant that mercy upon his faithful friend Onesiphorus for all the love that he had bestowed upon the Apostle Paul. Paul knew the one in whom he had believed and placed his trust, and he was persuaded that the one who had saved him was indeed the one who was and forever shall be able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. And here he prayed unto God to grant the same mercy unto his friend in the ministry, Onesiphorus. And then Paul encouraged Timothy to remember the faithfulness and mercy that Onesiphorus had shown toward him by writing, "And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Thank God for faithful and merciful friends in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, beginning now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see how that Timothy is charged to be faithful. He is charged to faithfulness. You see, because unfaithfulness is so often seen and talked about more in the ministry than faithfulness is seen and talked about, Paul now exhorts and he charges his dear son in the faith, Timothy, to be strong in the Lord and to remain faithful as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want us to look at verses 13 and 14. Look at this just a moment. Paul writes here, he says, "Hold fast, Timothy." He's writing this to his dear son in the faith now. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Paul charged Timothy to be faithful in several areas. Number one, he charged him to be faithful in doctrine. Folks, do you know why so many people quit on God and leave the church where they've been for so long, where they heard the message of the gospel preached and they see the blessings of God in their lives for so long? Do you know why people quit on God? It's because they have become unfaithful in doctrine. And they have allowed the adversary to steal away the joy of redeeming truth found only in God's precious and holy word from their heart. Paul told Timothy, he said, you hold fast the form of sound words and not let them go. Don't let them depart from your heart, Timothy. He said, those sound and faithful words that I've preached and taught unto you, they're to remain forever in your heart, son. And they need to be in your mind as a pattern, as a standard for living in this old cold, dark world of sin and debauchery. Those words then, folks, were and they remain today to be sound doctrine. You see, truth does not change. Amen? No matter how many years go by, truth shall never change. And not only was Timothy charged to hold fast the form of sound words, but he was also being charged to do it with the right spiritual attitude of service. Look what he said. He said, hold fast the form of sound words in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, the attitude in which we do what we do for Christ sometimes makes more of an impression on people than anything else that we could ever do. If we do something simply because we're told or instructed to do it, we may just do that task or service for the Lord without really putting our heart or soul into it. You realize that, right? But folks, the way that we serve God is just, if not more, as important than our simply doing the job. We need to hold fast the form of sound words because it is in our heart to do it. And then we need to do it in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the way we ought to do it. Paul then went on to charge young Timothy, and he said this. He said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. What good thing was Paul referring to here? He was referring to that sacred trust of the ministry to which God had called him. He was referring to that sound Christian doctrine which he was to preach. He had been entrusted with it, and which was, as God's man, he was required to do, to teach, to preach, and to transmit to others. What a good and sacred thing the doctrine of Christ and the work of his ministry truly is in the life of anyone who has been called of God both to protect and to proclaim. Listen, we are to protect the Word of God. We are to proclaim the Word of God. We are to preach it and to teach it everywhere that we go. And how would Timothy be able to perform this task? He was to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, which dwelt in him. Look again at verse number 14. Paul writes here, he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. The precious indwelling Holy Spirit of God is the one who teaches the man of God the very things of God. And the Spirit of God confirms the truth of the Word of God so that the man of God may be able to stand upon God's Word unashamedly and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, we can't do this on our own, folks. You cannot stand boldly for God in a world that hates you and hates the Word of God. You can't do it by yourself, but you can do it in the power of God. And that's what Paul was encouraging Timothy to do. He said, I want you to stand. I want you to stand in doctrine. I want you to be faithful in sound doctrine. But he said, I want you to be found faithful in grace as well. Look at verse 1. Of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, he needed to trust God to enable him in all that he did for God. Does that make sense to you? You and I need to trust God to enable us to do all that we do for God. Timothy was not to only be strong, but he was to remain strong in the grace of God. And that is only found through a proper and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. Listen, God had blessed Timothy. And as God blessed Timothy and used him to win others to Christ, Timothy was then, in turn, to remain strong and doctrinally sound in the grace and blessings of the Lord God that had been bestowed upon him. And then finally, Paul charged him to remain faithful in reproduction. Look what he said, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy had heard, and he had been taught among many witnesses, those biblical foundational doctrines and truths of the Word of God and of God's great plan of salvation for all the world. Now, as Paul was getting ready to depart this world, he charges his dear son in the faith to pass that same doctrine and truth on to other faithful men who would, in time to come, be able to teach others also. Let me ask you something. Why do we do what we do for the Lord? Let me tell you why. It's so that others might know, and so that others might come to see their need of a Savior and be saved. But folks, the task does not stop there. We must then take that same doctrine and truth and commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Someday, folks, you and I are going to be off the scene of this old temporal life here on planet Earth. But the message of the gospel must continue on. Folks, this is why so many churches are drying up today. The previous generation failed to pass on to the next generation the basic fundamental truths and doctrines that do not change of the precious and holy Word of God. Paul realized that his days upon planet Earth were soon coming to an end, so he charged Timothy to remain faithful to God's calling upon his life, and to never forget the things that he had been taught about the precious Word of God and those precious and innumerable promises from God to bless and to strengthen those who would choose to remain faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ as they committed to faithful men those things which were most important to God. And so those faithful men would one day be able to teach others also. Now let me ask you something this morning, dear Conquerors Class member. Will you be faithful in your life history? Will there be faithfulness recorded in your life history, or will you be seen only as one of those unfaithful used-to-bes? When you realized Jesus chose to give his all for you upon the cross of Calvary, and you chose to accept his gift of eternal life, did you choose to commit your all unto him in faithfulness and in truth? Remember what Paul wrote here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Man, what a testimony. My question is, can this be said of you? Can it be said of me today? And if not, why not? Are we going to be faithful, or are we going to be fickle in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, we love you today. And I thank you, God, for this precious and holy word that I hold in my hand that we call the Bible. God, thank you for those men who were faithful to write those things that you said right. And now, Lord, we know how that we're to live for you. And God, we need to live so that one day when we're dead and gone off this old earth, Lord, there can be faithfulness in our personal history unto you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help every child of God, every born-again listener today that's listening to the sound of my voice, help them, Lord, to determine today that they're going to be faithful in all they do for you. And Lord, there might be somebody today that's listening to the sound of my voice that's never, ever been saved. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help them to see not only your faithfulness to love them and to provide the plan of salvation for them, but God, I pray, Lord, that they will be found faithful to take heed to the Word of God and apply it to their own sinful heart and be saved before it's eternally too late. God, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. Now use it, dear God, for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we thank you for joining us today on this lesson, lesson number 8, the second part, entitled Faithfulness in History. We hope to see you in church at 10:45. We'll hope to see you next Sunday right here in Conqueror Sunday School class. God bless you. We love you.